Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
So the Chiefs are in camp. And Patrick Mahomes is, let's say, rounding into shape. A little bit of a dad bod coming into training camp, which I fully appreciate. Best quarterback ever, and partly because of that in my mind. It's amazing.
I think he actually has, and we're one to talk, but like he's got the flak jacket, like the rib protector on as well underneath his shoulder pads, which adds to his girth. But I still think there's like a little ring of chub underneath the guard. No.
He's talked about it many times. Like, he has a dad bod.
In the age of, I'm in the best shape of my life, he shows up, and I'll be ready by September. No worries.
Okay, so...
The only thing he doesn't do is take a second job in the offseason to pay the bills like the old guys used to do. Like, I sold Toyotas in the offseason, and now I'll train in training camp for the season.
Yeah, but we saw the Netflix documentary. His wife keeps him so busy that he's...
Speaking of that.
Yeah, I mean... So, but that's not the news here today. We got to see a video of him rolling out of the pocket, throwing against the grain, down the length of the field, and rookie Xavier Worthy out of Texas makes a sort of half-diving catch in the end zone. And our executive producer, who is at home right now, he's laid up with a torn patellar tendon. On the production call last night, he's like, did you see that pass? I mean, like, the Chiefs are going to figure out their vertical
game.
Did
you see that catch? I think
it was that catch.
It was presented.
I mean... This means nothing, right? It's just a highlight.
It's the South Sudan exhibition game of football.
They're wearing shorts. And I understand the Chiefs have been, EJ's right about one thing. They've been talking a lot about the vertical passing game. I think it is a little bit not talked enough about how bad they were offensively last year. They won the AFC title game 17-10, and they scored 19 points in regulation in the Super Bowl. Like, they're basically the 2000 Ravens right now. They did not do anything on offense last year. Patrick Mahomes came out and said it was a grind. It was a lot tougher than people thought. It is amazing to me what happened. It's been well documented. Basically, defenses adjusted and took the big play away from the Chiefs. So Mahomes had to dink and dunk down the field.
And Tyreek Hill was gone. But that's why they were able to do it.
So it was a lot of bubble screens to Rashee Rice, a lot of Isaiah Pacheco, a lot of Kelce working the seam. I think that is a hard way to win football games. I think it's easier when you get some big plays. So they draft Xavier Worthy. They signed Hollywood Brown, former first-round pick. I think they brought back Mecole Hardman.
After a useless year with the Jets.
Yes. So they have a lot of speed on the outside. Now we see Worthy in training camp. Do you think the Kansas City Chiefs have properly addressed this problem?
Well, no, because the video we saw yesterday does not prove anything. But God forbid everyone fainting over this yesterday, that this is the harbinger of things to come, then you look out the rest of the NFL. Like, if Xavier Worthy reestablishes the Tyreek Hill effect to any extent, and the Chiefs can go back to just straight out scoring you with that defense, then no one's winning the AFC other than them. Don't tell me about Joe Burrow being healthy or anybody else in any other team. If Xavier Worthy is as good as one catch against a teammate made everyone feel yesterday, then all bets are off. But I mean, to me, the only thing that matters in this video is the throw, because he's going left, Mahomes.
Yeah.
He opens up his hips and his shoulders, and he puts it on the dime, wherever that is, 40, 50 yards down the field. Like, I don't want to sound like whomever, but I think I would have caught it. Now, I might not have run fast enough to get down there, but like, it's not a contested catch. He's not a speedster. The video, thankfully, is actually on our TV right now. The throw is the only unique part of this, in my estimation. And we already knew Mahomes could make it.
Of course. And
catch is a catch, whatever.
That's the famous pro day throw where you roll against your body and you open up and you chuck it down. A lot of quarterbacks can do that now. It's funny. But obviously Mahomes is probably the most talented quarterback at doing this. So Xavier Worthy, we've had this debate on the show before. Obviously set the combine record 4.2140,
Yes.
The dude can fly.
Yes. And wanted to set the record, which was my favorite part of
it.
As we saw again the other day, he asks himself, he asks back out there, or he didn't have to run a second time, but he did to try to beat the record.
Here is my issue with Xavier Worthy, and it's quite simple. He played 14 games at Texas last year. Outstanding college football team. Number three in the country. Final four. He had 5 touchdowns in 14 games. This guy can fly. He's got Steve Sarkisian calling plays. He's got a future NFL quarterback and Quinn Ewers for most of the games. How come he didn't do more?
I would agree. The what he looks like on paper,
yeah,
he would be one of those guys that catches 12 balls total and 8 of them are touchdowns.
Right.
Not the other way
He's
around.
The opposite. He actually had his best receiving season yardage-wise, 1,000 yards, which is really impressive. He started out as a freshman. He had 12 touchdowns. Then he had 9 the following year and 5 as a junior. And I know there were some drops. I know A.D. Mitchell kind of ate into his productivity.
Right.
But I just worry about I am nervous about the fast guy. I was when my guy Andy Dalton was a quarterback of the Bengals, they drafted John Ross, who I think had the record as well.
Yes, that's the record Worthy broke.
And by the way, John Ross was much more productive in his last season in Washington. I think he had 1,800 yards. He's a guy who you thought had all the speed. We know that time speed does not translate to the NFL. We know, for example, Hollywood Brown could fly,
right,
and he has not really delivered as a first-round pick.
Is he on 3 teams now?
Yeah, so I don't buy that you could just add these speedsters and all of a sudden the Chiefs are going to be more wide open on offense. I think it's harder than that.
It's harder than that, but knowing what they can do when they had Tyreek Hill, they need to never stop trying to find somebody that can play like that. So,
but nobody can be Tyreek Hill.
No. But
they thought Mecole Hardman would be that,
sure,
and he's not.
Right. So, and Xavier Worthy might not be, and they don't need Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But if Tyreek Hill is a 10, if they get a guy that's like a 6 or a 7, they're still significantly more dangerous than they were last year when they won the Super Bowl again.
Yep. Bottom line, though, this team on paper should be a strong title contender. I just don't think anyone can. It's never happened. So much has to go right.
Yes.
To win a Super Bowl, you have to stay healthy. That's number one. And they needed a play here or a play there to get away from the Eagles 2 years ago. They needed Kyle Shanahan to take the ball first in overtime to win the Super Bowl last year. Just so much has to go right. I love the Chiefs. I love Andy Reid. I love Mahomes. I love Steve Spagnuolo, the way he's running that defense.
Yes.
I think you have to be very, very nervous about picking them to three-peat.
Right, but the argument against the three-peat is just like the historical, it never happens, right? Like that's the thing.
Yes.
And I mean, that's a valid argument because you do need to stay healthy, or I don't know what Patrick Mahomes has in it. He almost looks like, you and I watch The Boys, he looks like Kimiko, who can like regrow her injuries. Like you shoot her and like the bullets fall out of her. She got torn in half this season and she goes back together. Like he suffers high ankle sprains for fun and doesn't miss a game.
Dude was limping at halftime of the Super Bowl,
right,
and came out and was perfect.
Spiking helmets, crying, slamming the sideline. Like I don't understand how he's able to survive some of the injuries that he has survived. And not even just like coming back quickly. It's almost never leaving the field with injuries that knock guys out for weeks at a time. And, you know, the referee can mess it up. The other team can mess. You could just find, you know, a bad day, a bad matchup. So, but it's not about football. Like from a football standpoint, there is not necessarily a reason to pick against them.
Well,
and now then especially if this kid works out, then look out.
Well, there are a couple reasons. I think you go, Rashee Rice will,
Time.
He will miss time for his off-season driving incident. And Travis Kelce's getting a little older. And Tyreek Hill, when he left, I didn't think they were going to do this. And man, they have. But Travis Kelce is even more important. He was the entire offense in the postseason.
Right.
He was the only consistent factor. So he's 34 now. He's going to turn 35 in October. Also, too, like, I would assume defensive coordinators are working on this guy after what he did in the playoffs. Like, you know, I saw the playoff games. I'm like, is anyone going to cover Travis freaking Kelce? What is going on here? He is wide open by 10 yards. So I think Kelce is a big issue. Again, health. The defense is great. They lost Legarius Sneed, went to Tennessee. But they still have Chris Jones. You're right. Logically, I can't think of any reason to bet against him. I'm going with history. Now, you say that historic, just saying history has never happened is not a reason to say it won't happen. Is that true? In the sense that there's a obviously a reason it's never right. happened because there's such parity in the NFL. It just seems like now we have a three-peat. Now there's a dynasty. With the salary cap era, the teams are way too close. Yeah. I think last year Baltimore was right there. If they'd done a couple things differently, they could have won. And this year, and there's going to be
Washington
some...
Maybe Washington doesn't fumble at the pylon.
Yeah, there's just so many teams that are so close to them.
No, it's a valid argument. It would mean more to me, I guess, if in this singular year... We were talking about a roster like decimated by free agency, that kind of thing. That like, so like we assume Travis Kelce will show his age, but it might not be this year. And you know they were okay. They've been okay to say the least post Tyreek Hill. So part of me thinks they'll know how to survive 4, 6, or 8 games without Rashee Rice, and maybe it's Xavier Worthy. Maybe it's a combination of him and Hollywood Brown. Maybe Isaiah Pacheco becomes that much more dangerous from that running back spot. So the history thing, it's true. Like, it tells you that it's hard to get this done. But for me, the number one argument against the Chiefs is that, not that on the football field, they're not as dangerous as they used to be. Because to me, they are still just as dangerous and just as good and deep.
Do you think are they as talented as the San Francisco 49ers?
Player to player?
Well, they do have Mahomes compared to Purdy.
Right, so that's a...
Take out the quarterback. Is their roster as good as the Niners?
I mean, I think Mahomes, other than Kelce, but maybe not even, wouldn't you, if you were the Chiefs, forgetting personal connections and history as contextless as possible, you would trade the other 10 Chief offensive players for the non-Purdy Niners offense.
Yeah. What?
Like you would, if you could just take the offensive line, the wide receiver group, and the running backs for Kansas City and swap them for the Niners, you would do that all the time.
Right. And also the Chiefs have some instability. They're not sure who's starting left tackle right now. All reports are. That seems like a big deal. Remember when they lost to the Bucs in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady? That's because their O-line got hurt and they've been able to patch together these O-lines.
Yeah.
So that's an issue. And you're right. They totally would swap. They are elite at one position. For sure. Are you aware who their backup quarterback is?
This year, it's Carson Wentz.
Is that amazing? Carson Wentz might get a ring. Again, sorry, a second ring. He might get a second ring where he's not in the game.
Is he still getting paid by like 3 different teams to not be on those teams, or is that all done now?
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know the offset language. By the way, he's definitely good enough to be a backup quarterback in this NFL. The fact that he couldn't sign with a team last year was weird.
And how old is he?
I would guess he's 30. What do you think he is?
So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Does he have 5 or 10 years left to just collect checks as a backup?
He's 31. You know, he got in last year. It was the Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz battle at the end of the season in a meaningless game. I thought both of them looked pretty good. Maggie can't stand Sam Darnold's game.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz came in. Yeah, at the end, he was in a meaningless game.
For the Rams?
Week 18. For the Rams, came in with 17 for 24, 162 yards, 2 TDs for the Niners. I watched a game. NFL Network's been showing old games. It was, I think, 2018. I mean, it's a great mystery to me why Carson Wentz is not a good NFL quarterback. Dude's got a cannon, could move like crazy. Is it just because he was not well-liked in the locker room? I understand. Then he went to Indy. He had 27 touchdowns and 7 picks. He came up really short at the end. But he's clearly got the talent. It shows you talent isn't enough.
Talent's definitely not enough. I think the not just interceptions, but the lack of regard that he showed at times for like ball security and understanding the moment spooked some teams. And to some extent, the personal stuff, the teammate stuff has to be a factor. I don't know what the percentage is, but I mean, that's got to be on the table that some people just think he doesn't play well as the leader of a team.
You know the other guy that always mystified me how his career didn't go longer? How come RG3 is only 34 right now? Like, why? He's the most talented incoming quarterback I ever saw. He could fly. He was Lamar Jackson fast and had this gorgeous throwing form. And it was really good to watch. And then he kept tearing up his knee.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he wasn't bigger in the league.
I mean, unless just those knees don't pass. Medical checks.
Yeah, I know he wanted to play. He's only 34.
And he's in shape still. He's in better shape than Mahomes is right now, probably.
Meanwhile, we have Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles at 40. We have all sorts of old quarterbacks. Certain guys just do not stick. All right, if you want to weigh in on the Chiefs' chance of three-peating, will Carson Wentz actually play this year? That's a sort of a side topic here. But do they have a vertical passing game with all these fast guys? I'm still very skeptical. Despite one Instagram video, which is a lot of fun. Call us 855-212-4227. A lot going on here today. We updated the Sweet 16 of the greatest sitcom bracket ever, Maggie and Perloff style, trying to figure out what's the best sitcom of all time. You can vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. It is a strong, strong set of opponents today. Seinfeld versus 70 Show, Fresh Prince versus I Love Lucy, Simpsons versus Jeffersons, Family Guy versus The Office in the Battle Royale. We'll update those results later, and we will get into the British Open. Big, big disagreement between Bogus and I. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And Perloff. Coming up, we're going to speak to Joe Varden from Europe about Team USA's close call against South Sudan on Saturday in basketball. But first, this weekend, the Open Championship of Royal Troon. It was a sort of a quiet final day because the eventual winner, Xander Schauffele, never really, once he got the lead, held on to it, and there was not any drama, sort of coasted into the clubhouse with an insurmountable three-shot lead that ended up being a two-shot lead over Justin Rose. I don't think the ratings could have been very good for this tournament because the leaders coming in were guys like Billy Horschel that you've heard of, but I don't think you tune in for. Scottie Scheffler was hanging around a little bit, but it didn't seem like there were enough big names for the casual fan to tune in for me, Bogus.
So we're going to find out, going back and looking at the previous three majors, Tuesday morning seems to be when we get the ratings, so we'll know this tomorrow or by Wednesday at the latest. Now, the Masters this year did not do well, even with Scheffler winning, but there was no drama on Sunday, and it was Easter Sunday, which appears to be at least part of the idea that people were not out at bars or whatever watching things. That didn't help. But the PGA Championship, which did begin with the Scottie Scheffler arrest, which got more attention on the weekend to begin with, the PGA on Sunday, back in May, a 10% increase from the 2023 event.
Is that good, though? I mean, 10% from a low number or a high number?
Sure. The context is a lot of golf ratings have been down. Yeah. It goes back to all the live golf stuff. It goes back to, I guess, post-Tiger.
It's post-Tiger, but I think. Okay.
So the raw, like historically speaking, the raw numbers compared to 15, 20, 30 years ago might not be great, but a 10% increase is a 10% increase, and that's what the PGA Championship got while Xander Schauffele charged late on Sunday and won. Then the U.S. Open, which was Rory collapsing, DeChambeau winning, as that was all happening, the final like half hour or so,
that was a good one.
Had over 11 million viewers, which was the highest audience for that event in 9 years.
So that was wild. Yeah,
the last two majors have done well.
Right, but those had reasons. This one, in my opinion, did not have a reason to watch. Xander Schauffele seems like a super nice guy.
But he was the one that you watched on the Sunday of the PGA win in the same fashion. Shot a 65 to rally and win that, and he shot a 65 yesterday to shoot leaderboard and win.
But, yeah, okay, maybe you're right. I just think, Manny, did you think there were obvious storylines in the British Open?
No, not one.
Yeah.
Not one. I mean, you mentioned when Rory was starting to choke at the end of one of the major. What major was that again?
The U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open. When he started to
Yeah, that was huge.
I mean, that caught my attention. But, right. I mean, the only reason that I knew that the Open was really on was because I was over here and it was already on the TVs.
Right, but like when the U.S. Open and it's Rory and DeChambeau late, it wasn't like 14 people were watching and then 11.4 turned their TV on for the final half hour. The audience was already big, and then it got bigger because of what the late drama was. So,
we'll find out tomorrow. There were some other interesting names. Thriston Lawrence,
yes,
who's a 27-year-old pro out of South Africa named Thriston.
Mm.
Not even Thurston. I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
And, my guy Maverick McNeely didn't do much after my mention on Friday, so he's out.
Oh, Russell Henley did well, which is really cool. Isn't that the British comedian who was married to Katy Perry?
That's Russell Brand.
Okay.
Sorry to kill that story.
Close.
There was a guy named Daniel Brown who was getting a lot of attention this week, like sort of a
first-time major participant, almost won, had the lead, I think, Thursday into Friday, right?
Came back down to even. Mm-hmm. I saw Alex Noren was hanging around a lot.
Your guy Shane Lowry looked like on Saturday he was going to win the whole thing, and then he fell apart. Then he played like me and you at the back the back half of his day.
That's a shame. Actually, Xander Schauffele, I've heard several of them, very likable, but to me, a guy like Shane Lowry is more interesting. Something about him, I would have rather seen him make a run for drama's sake. All right, what else happened in sports this weekend, Manny?
Yeah, you guys mentioned it in the last hour. Men's basketball athlete LeBron James has been voted by his fellow Olympians to be Team USA's flag bearer at the opening ceremony when things kick off on Friday. He was nominated by USA Basketball and Stephen Curry.
On behalf of the entire men's Olympic basketball team, we would like to nominate LeBron James to be the flag bearer for all of Team USA.
He got that honor, so you get to wave the flag in Paris, my man.
James becomes the first men's basketball player to carry the flag for Team USA, as Sue Bird and Dawn Staley were previous basketball players to have served in the honorary role.
It's special in the fact that, to get an opportunity to, represent your country, and in another fashion, to be able to understand how prestigious, this moment is, and for someone to have to be the flag bearer and to wave the flag for not only for us as a men's national team, but for all the Olympians, I hold that with the utmost honor, and, it's definitely something that my family and my community and my friends is something that will live on forever, and super appreciative and super humble about it.
The NBA's all-time leading scorer is headed to his fourth Olympics, winning gold in Beijing in 2008 and in London in 2012, and a bronze medal in 2004 in Athens. Team USA's women flag bearer will be announced on Tuesday. Over the weekend in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl champion Shaquille Barrett retired. The 31-year-old signed a one-year contract with the Dolphins back in March after being cut by the Buccaneers in an effort to cut salary. But in an Instagram post yesterday, Barrett says it's time for him to shift his full focus on his wife and kids. The Packers, they signed nose tackle Kenny Clark to an extension. His agents told ESPN the agreement is for 3 years at $64 million. This could give Clark a career earnings of over $150 million. The 28-year-old recorded a career-high 7.5 sacks last season.
Can we take it one step back to the Dolphins, by the way?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Shaq Barrett retires. Mm-hmm. Do you realize Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, maybe two of their best defensive players, they're going on PUP. They both got injured late in last season. Christian Wilkins is in Vegas. I got into this with Maggie last week. Like, Miami's lost their entire defense, and they have a new defensive coordinator. Like, this is a playoff team that has a major, major issue. In fact, I'm not sure there's a bigger red flag, and I feel like I'm the only one who notices this. Does no one else notice that everyone's gone in Miami? And they got all hurt last year, and they're not healthy. And still, everyone's picking them to be the playoffs. What's going on here, Bogus?
Well, everybody still giggles over Mike McDaniel and his offense.
Yes, I think they're ignoring the fact that the defense has a lot of money invested in it. And Jalen Ramsey's getting older, too. I just think this is a big problem. I think Shaq Barrett leaving normally wouldn't be a big deal, but they kind of need him, so we'll see. I mean, I would love it if there were some shootouts with Miami. Sorry, go ahead, Manny.
To college football, LSU sophomore cornerback Javian Tovian has surrendered to authorities on charges of video voyeurism, according to the East Baton Rouge Parish's Sheriff's Office. The 19-year-old Texas native is accused of having sex with a woman and recording it without her consent. The woman told detectives she found the videos on Tovian's iPad that were recorded through a clock with a built-in camera placed near the bed. The woman also told detectives that he has recorded them having sex in the past without her consent and told him she did not want to be recorded. Tovian, in an interview with detectives, admitted to using the hidden cameras. He played in every game last season as a freshman at LSU. Baseball scores. The Yankees keep struggling. They fall to the Rays 6-4. The Dodgers finish a sweep of the Red Sox 9-6. The Brewers, they hold off the Twins 8-7. And Ozzie Albies, he fractures his wrist in a Braves loss to the Cardinals 6-2.
Does that mean, the Manny, you can promise me the Braves are going to go away for good? Like, this is... I mean, because I've seen them.
Aren't the Phillies like? Didn't the Phillies have like a 10.5 game lead?
You know, they came back after the All-Star break. It dropped a couple games, and you know, this is where nerves come in.
No Acuna, no Albies.
So the Braves are still.
I think the Phillies will be all right.
Still 10 games over 500. They're like the Baltimore Ravens. They lose parts and they reform Terminator 2 style. I think, and Bogut sitting here as a Mets fan, pretty cocky about the Braves falling apart too. I just worry about this team. I've just seen them find guys and beat my team too many times. And how are they already 10 games over 500 with all these injuries? They're cool. You have to admit, there is a special superpower of the Atlanta Braves.
Well, because everybody else on their roster is usually good, too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been an incredible amount of losses, and they are still... Yeah. And their pitching staff has been, for a couple of years, like, lost guys. I just worry about them. You know, you count them out, They remind me so much. The Ravens lose every defensive player every year and come back and just destroy everybody. So that's my Braves. You can call us 855-212-4227. Are you okay with LeBron being the flag bearer? I actually, Bogus, thought I was going to get mad at that because I found LeBron a little obnoxious lately. I have no problem.
Why is that?
I think it goes back to the J.J. Redick podcast with the wine. Oh, you're making fun of me. But I have no problem. He had to be the flag bearer. In fact, there was no choice. This, if you pull back, this was the most obvious choice of all time. I mean, who else was it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, you've done the deep dive on the other potential nominees. I'll just say that he's maybe the best basketball player of all time. Four-time Olympian, 2 gold medals.
No, there's
last
no maybe
Olympics.
Wait. There's no maybe best basketball player of all time. I may be an NFL quarterback. I'm not. He's not the best basketball player of all time.
Because that's a fair comparison.
Basically. Michael Jordan is the best basketball player of all time. LeBron James is the second best basketball player of
all
time.
So again, maybe he's the best of all time.
There's no maybe.
You are not maybe anything as an NFL quarterback. You could spell quarterback. That's about it.
Are you a LeBron over Jordan guy?
I'm not a LeBron over Jordan guy, but I think there's probably a way where you could put LeBron over Jordan. The fact that it's even a conversation in any regard is a compliment to
LeBron. Because you were in a coma when Jordan played? Is that the way you do it?
No, like I'm allowing for the fact that I love Jordan growing up, skewing my opinion of Michael.
Okay, anyway, it does make sense.
You're putting him at number 2 on the list.
Yes.
I didn't say that maybe Jalen Brunson's the best player
Why
of all
Jalen
time.
Jalen Brunson? There are 500 other NBA basketball players.
Because you're sitting there and EJ's on my phone right now. So I picked the number 2 guy, and there are people that know basketball that will have a LeBron James greatest of all time conversation.
I think Bob Cousy deserves to be in that number 2 slot.
So all I'm saying is he might be the best of all time.
I don't know. I feel like you're throwing in the maybe. It's just a weird maybe at that time.
I don't think he is, but other people do.
So other people think a lot of things. That doesn't mean it all
Who's
may be
two,
true.
Then, Perloff?
No, he number thinks LeBron's
LeBron. I mean, Jordan is such a strong one. I think the LeBron people say, well, the whole LeBron-Jordan debate is a construct of LeBron James fans. There's no real debate.
You're making it sound like LeBron's like 5th on your list.
I'm telling you, he's 2nd, but Jordan is so much better. Just pull up some old Jordan footage.
Wearing a Jordan Olympic jersey. He doesn't know what year it's from.
How this happened where America let Michael Jordan become underrated is incredible. All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. We're trying to track down Joe Vardon overseas. We need a scouting report on Team USA. Well, it's the South Sudan game on Saturday. A wake-up call. Is this Team USA in trouble? We'll talk about that next. Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Maggie's on vacation. Andrew Bogus is sitting in. Big news today. LeBron James will be the flag bearer for the entire Team USA Olympic team. Great honor for a kid from Akron, which is pretty cool. But we got a little bit of a scare on Saturday in the exhibition game. South Sudan gave Team USA men's basketball all it could handle. When we saw this result, Scramble said, we got to call Joe Vardon, one of our favorites from The Athletic, is over there in London. Joe, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Slightly disappointed that Maggie's on vacation. No.
Yeah, I don't blame you. No, you're not alone. So what should we read into the close game against South Sudan? I know it was an exhibition game. Is this a reason to be scared about Team USA winning gold?
So scared is an interesting word. We've been trying to say, and listen, there was a time when I didn't quite understand this. Just how a combination of how much better the world is and how different FIBA game is than the NBA. Things have to go right. Like, you can't just overwhelm these teams on talent anymore. So, you know, was the South Sudan game a harbinger of things to come? I'm not necessarily sure about that. I think there were a couple of focus issues that weren't necessarily the fault of the players. And then I also, it was kind of weird to watch what was going on in the fourth quarter. Like, Team USA played this awesome third quarter, ridiculous third quarter, to come all the way back from 16 points. And they're up 8, and the lineup that was out there was, like, Steve doesn't play his starters or maybe the best five, like, down the stretch necessarily. He sticks with this hockey substitution thing. Five guys on and five guys off at a time. And so, like, he keeps saying he's going to do that when the games count, but it's hard to imagine that in a game you have to have, that he's going to go most of a fourth quarter without, you know, the four best players in the world all out there, or four of the best players in the world, excuse me. So all that being said, I do think this is the best team by a lot. I think when they are focused and when they are paying attention, I don't think effort is an issue. When they're paying attention, I don't think they're beatable. But in a 40-minute game where you can defensive goaltend and now everybody in the world can shoot threes thanks to Steph Curry and the proliferation of that, you got to be careful because it's less time to run to pull away from an opponent, and the court's shorter and the games are shorter. So, you know, that's just the reality of it.
So, Joe, are these whatever issues you see, are they just basketball issues about this team and this tournament, or do they speak to bigger issues about the program, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't see a ton of issues with this team. I think that they have outside shooting. They have several players that can get to the rim. They can overwhelm you defensively. They have ridiculous depth that most other teams aren't going to be able to handle. And for the first time since really 96, you could say 2000 if you want, I guess, but this, they have the most talent and size in the post that they've had since 96. So I love this team. I think this team was put together correctly. And it's really cool to watch the way LeBron and Steph are going at this. And we haven't even seen Durant yet. I mean, if Durant is Durant, like, just, and he's got no limitations, like, you throw him in there, now you've got two rim protectors. He's playing alongside LeBron, who's setting up, like, Steph and KD. Like, that's nuts. But you do have to talk a little bit about the American program and what they feel like they can ask of these pros. They, at this point in USA basketball's history, because of how the FIBA game is set up in terms of, like, we play a World Cup, for instance, in 23, and then we play an Olympics in 24, USA basketball does not feel at present that it can ask its American stars to play in back-to-back summers. It just doesn't. Now, you're going to say to me, well, wait a minute. Canada did it. Germany did it. France did it. And on down the line, and that's correct. I don't know what the difference is. I mean, you know, Luke is making as much money as the guys on Team USA, or it's close enough, right? It's close enough. Same with Jokic, close enough. Giannis, close enough. But there is just that thing right now that they don't feel like they can make that ask. So, you know, we've got after this summer, we've got two summers with nothing going on, and then there's a World Cup, and we know that World Cup team is going to be mostly young guys. Like, even Anthony Edwards has already said, no thanks, like, talk to me again when it's the 28 Olympics. Mm. So and our last two World Cup teams had stunk. I mean, let's say it for how it is. We finished in seventh and we finished in fourth. That's not good enough for USA basketball, and they know that. So this is a long way of saying, if they want to build some continuity and then they want to take some of those young guys off that 27 World Cup team and put them on the Olympic team with Ant, with Tatum, with Booker, they should have a couple of training camps next summer and the summer after that to start to build this thing. So the excuse about, well, the foreign guys have known each other forever and we get 3 weeks to practice before we play together, like that, let's get rid of that excuse.
So, Joe, you mentioned, we're talking to Joe Vard in The Athletic about the Team USA basketball. You mentioned the depth. One of the problems, and I know in an All-Star game, you got to, at some point, tighten your rotation to 5 to 8 players, probably. Or you can't play everybody 20 minutes like I think Kerr has been trying to do. So who is the closing five, ultimately, for this team?
Well, Pearl, I guess the answer is I don't know, because they've had one game where there was an opportunity to close. Now, I know that the Australia game was close, but that was a case where they had just – everybody had fallen asleep. They were up by 25. Australia went crazy and, like, you know, got it to 6, whatever. They had one chance to close, and that was the other night. And he had Derek White out there.
Mm.
Derek White was not on this team 3 weeks ago. And now he was closing because they wanted to play. They wanted to defend. I do think that what Steve said is true. He said we have 7 games left. Who the hell knows what the rotation is going to be? It's going to depend on the situation. We know that with the game on the line, when the chips are down, he turned to LeBron and he turned to Steph, and he said, "You go win this for us." And LeBron did. So we know those two are going to be out there. I don't think Joel Embiid is a closer on this team. I think it's going to be Davis for defensive purposes. And then if Durant is healthy, I think Durant is a closer. If he's not, I think you have to give strong consideration to Edwards, so long as he's not bogging down the offense. And then you think about Drew Holiday, because he was arguably the second best player on the last Olympic team. He is a glue guy. They think he is the best on point of attack defender in the world. So I think you give him strong consideration too.
All right. So I know I have to ask one question. It's not Olympic. You're with other NBA writers, and I'm sure you know LeBron very well, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 games at the very end of his summer league experience, Bronny James actually played pretty well. Now, I don't know if you got to watch him or what you're hearing. Is Bronny James, in your opinion, is he going to be on the Lakers week 1 or game 1? And is it possible that those last 2 games have lifted him back into, like, contention to be a real NBA player?
Well, Bronny is, unless there's something I don't know, yeah. Bronny's definitely going to be on the Lakers game.
Right. Will he be on the court? Oh boy.
See, he can't answer that question.
I touched the third rail there, mentioned Bronny James.
The LeBron people.
LeBron people. Joe, of course, has covered LeBron for a long time.
The LeBron Illuminati jumped in and cut the line.
So I thought that would be a good opportunity to get some insight into Bronny. Bronny did ball out at the end, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, he
12
did.
And 13 points. You stop that, Bogus.
Okay. sure. Challenge accepted.
Actually, there is a summer league was endless this year. It seemed to go on forever.
So I don't think it's done yet. That was going to be, I had that as my a possible stock down too. I was the one second I saw Saturday night of the WNBA All-Star game. My boy Ryan Rucco had to read a promo for the Summer League semifinals yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Which means there's a title game today or tomorrow. And I can't think of any, the only, whew, I guess the in-season tournament, beloved on this show, does have a little more significance than Summer League. But not by much. I mean, a Summer League title, semifinals, and a championship game? Just let the boys go home.
Back at the Dan Patrick Show, we used to make up a lot of T-shirts. And there was one year the T-Wolves won the Summer League, and we made up championship Summer League T-shirts, ironically. I got to find one of those. They're so funny. There are a couple of headlines. One player, by the way, even more than Bronny James, stood out to me. Kyle Filipowski balled out. Do you remember Filipowski, last time we talked about him, was involved in this strange dating scandal that he was sort of taken away from his family for religious reasons? Anyway, he looked awesome. And you remember, oh my God, he was like the top recruit and was a star at Duke. And he looked really good in Summer League. Again, it's Summer League. It doesn't really prove anything. We've seen guys excel there and then struggle in the NBA. But wouldn't that be a thing if Kyle Filipowski was like Rookie of the Year and people would start to really put a spotlight on his relationship, his former babysitter?
I think that's what that started out as, was the family babysitter is an older Mormon woman, and his family thinks that she has like brainwashed him.
Yes. If the guy can hit a three-pointer, I mean, she's brainwashed him.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's brainwashed him in the exact right way. Then he's at the Jazz. Would that be funny if he was a star?
You know, his brother, younger brother, committed to Harvard, never got on the floor this past year, transferred to I don't remember where, but there's other Filipowski brothers.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Another guy, Ron Holland, who is, I think, the Pistons, he's number 5 overall pick. Oh, my God. He is. He's a highlight machine.
That's a guy I didn't know existed until the NBA draft.
G League, right? G League.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how the NBA draft is right now. Summer League is tough. It was an interesting weekend of sports. Did you get to watch any sports this weekend? There's a million sports things on, but I feel like there was no consensus of what people were watching.
What did I watch? I was out of the house a lot Saturday. I have some family visiting, so I was being a good family member and not watching random sports on Saturday. But I did try to watch Summer League maybe Friday, because here's my obligatory Fordham mention. A recent Fordham player, Khalid Moore, is playing on the Nets Summer League roster, and I saw on like my menu that the Nets and Magic were playing. I was like, oh, let me see if Khalid's in the game. I put it on. I mean, that's Nets Magic in reality in an NBA season might be a tough watch. Nets Magic Summer League. They actually said the Magic had three guys who had been playing too well for Summer League, so they were going to watch the end of the run, let other guys get some burn. Mm. So they took the better Magic players off the roster, further diluting Nets Magic. Hard pass.
That's amazing. Actually, I'm on the Nets Summer League team. You didn't know that. I have to leave right after this, get a plane, and because it's not a high bar.
No.
I watched a lot of the Open Championship. Great course, Royal Troon. I always felt like I could play well at the British Open because the fairways are so wide, but this one, it was not. I also watched a movie this weekend. Have you heard of the movie Bike Riders?
I have not.
Pete, you ever heard of Bike Riders?
No.
So it's a sort of an artsy film with Austin Butler, the guy who played Elvis, and Tom Hardy play a precursor to the Hell's Angels. It's about this rough and tumble Chicago motorcycle gang. And it's really, really good. It's really kind of dark and moody. And I'm a huge fan of Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Who you might know, what's his big movie? He does a lot of British movies.
I mean, he's from Peaky Blinders, and he's amazing in Peaky Blinders. That's what I know him best for.
I didn't even know that was him in Peaky Blinders.
Right.
He plays Venom, I believe, for any X-Men or Marvel fans.
And he's in is it a Western with Shia LaBeouf, isn't it? Or like Lawless or something like that? He's in that movie, I believe.
He is also in one movie called The Drop, where him and James Gandolfini play New Jersey low bit gangsters. He's unbelievable. Anyway, Bike Riders, I recommend it. It is dark. Austin Butler is really good in this, but he's still Elvis to me. I'm having trouble getting over the Elvisness of it.
And I didn't know who he was when I started watching. It was on Apple TV, but it's made by the Band of Brothers, HBO guys, about the Air Force, basically,
or
fighter pilots in World War II. And I didn't know that he had been Elvis. So that was my introduction to him. So now I got to go watch the Elvis movie because you love the Elvis movie.
Spoiler alert, he plays an insane person in Dune 2 across from Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was him either. He had a ball cap on in the whole movie, and afterwards, my 13-year-old daughter comes out and says, I didn't understand a word of what's going on in Dune 2, but I will pay money to watch Austin Butler because he is fine. That's how my daughter describes guys.
Wow, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm in big trouble. All right, coming up next, training camps are starting. There are some key contract situations, including one in Green Bay, that we need to watch very closely. That's next, Maggie and Perloff.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app